This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Our new book, Highs, Lows and Decanios, is now on general sale, just in time for Christmas. Myself, ex and West Ham Way writer Sid Lambert relived the madness of being a West Ham fan in the 90s. It was a decade where football changed forever, thanks to the Premier League. But what didn't change was the agony and ecstasy of life at Upton Park. In Highs, Lows and Decanios, we cover everything. The managerial madness of Macari, Bonds and Redknapp. And we also remember the colourful cast of characters who played in Claret and Blue, like Julian Dix, Marco Bugas, Florin Radichoyu, and of course the one and only Paolo Di Canio. It's all there in our new book. So if you want some 90s nostalgia this Christmas, go to thewesthamway.com/shop and get your copy of Highs, Lows and Di Canios today.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee. We give our thoughts on the World Cup now we're a week into the competition and England's performance so far before we go head-to-head on our best ever World 11 since 1990 with some challenging rules in place along the way. We get the latest news from X, then finish with questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. X, another week has passed in the World Cup. What do you make of the competition so far?
I like it because obviously I've been able to watch so many games and it's brilliant. Like the football is on constantly and, you know, it has been interesting is probably the right word, but I wouldn't say I've been absolutely flabbergasted by the quality of football that's been on show so far. I mean, there's been certain games, you know, France have looked good in periods. Obviously, Spain did in their first game. The Germany-Spain game last night was entertaining. I mean, it wasn't the greatest game, but it was worth watching. So a bit 50-50. I'm hoping when you sort of get to the later rounds, you know, after these league groups are finished and you've sort of got rid of the lesser teams, the games in the next rounds, which are knockouts, obviously, will be a lot more exciting. That's the hope. And I wouldn't say it's the worst World Cup I've watched, but it's certainly not the best at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, you know, because I've really enjoyed it so far. Yeah. I think politics aside, I think it's been really good. I think the football's been entertaining, not guaranteed every single game, but entertaining enough for me to class this as a decent tournament so far. Some great goals, bit of controversy here and there, some shocks along the way as well. I mean, look at the Saudis beating Argentina, Japan beating Germany, even Morocco beating Belgium was an eyebrow raiser for me. So I think it's been good fun. But what did you think about the game against America?
It was a disappointment, I'd say. I mean, I'm not getting completely carried away like a lot of people do. You know, we've got a reactionary fan group, whatever it is, West Ham, America, England, wherever it may be. So I'm not going completely, oh, this is awful. Sack Southgate, we're out. doom and gloom. I think we could have played better. I think, you know, USA aren't the best team we're going to hopefully face this tournament. However, they aren't as mug, like they aren't as big a mugs as people are making out. They are decent. You know, they have got some good players. We've struggled with them in previous tournaments. I think the manager's substitutions were poor. Sounds like I'm talking about West Ham again here. But the substitutions were poor. I don't understand taking off Bellingham for Henderson. You put Henderson on when you're trying to close out a game, not when you're trying to win a game. So I thought that some of the tactical decisions in terms of subs was surprising. I think some of the players weren't quite at their best. However, at the end of the day, if we go and beat Wales tomorrow, then it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant, that game. So the main thing is we beat Wales tomorrow, get a decent draw in the next round and keep going. No team in my memory of World Cups and my memory of any football tournament really is absolutely top draw in every single game they play. You know, look at, you know, when England got to Euro final last time, our second game, which obviously USA was the second game, was a poor game against Scotland, and everyone started moaning them. You know, you look at Brazil, they often take a while to get into their stride. Italy have taken their time in certain tournaments. You know, for example, Denmark, 1992 European Championships, didn't even qualify. They only got in because of a war. You know, so I've got a hiccup, so I do apologise, a war in Yugoslavia. So, you know, teams peak at different times. I do think it wasn't, like I said, I don't think it was entertaining. I don't think it was the greatest of performance. But ultimately, it's kind of irrelevant. The Wales game is the one now. Whereas if we win that well and play well, then it sets us up really well for the next stage.
It does, yeah. And look, the bottom line is we are going into this final group game in a good place. And I think we have to lose something like 4-0 against Wales to get knocked out. And that's not going to happen, is it? Let's be honest. I mean, look how they struggled against Iran. I mean, we put fucking 6 past them. They lost 2-0. So I think they're a side that's massively in trouble. I can't see them getting anything from England, to be honest. So I think we'll go through comfortably, hopefully as winners of the group. And like you say, it starts to get exciting then, doesn't it? But we've often spoken about songs on this podcast. Usually in relation to West Ham players, of course, but thanks to the beauty of the internet, this week we were blessed with this absolute banger.
Do you remember? Before the Euros, there was a footballer that nobody knows. Now it's the World Cup. And he scores his goal. His name was Jack. Jack Greenish. His name was Jack. Jack Greenish. And you're like, he's my baba. Oh, he's my boo-boo-boo-boo. Oh, he's my baba. He's my boo-boo-boo-boo.
Oh, I cannot wait to sing that one down the pub with the lads. Fucking hell. Right. Last week, we gave you our best England 11 with the only rule being that it had to be from 1990 onwards, because that's really the first international tournament that we can remember. This week, we're giving you our best World 11 that also has to be from 1990 onwards. But this time, there's a twist. Myself and X are going to be going up against each other by picking our sides. And the additional rule to the game is that we have to pick a maximum and a minimum of 2 players from each country. So this means, for example, if you wanted Ibrahimovic, you would have to choose another Swede to be in your best 11 as well. So obviously there are 11 players, not 10. So this leaves a spare man when picking the twos. This spare man can quite simply be from any country you like, but not from a nation that you've already chosen from. Does that make sense, X?
It does. And I'll tell you what, it is bloody hard to do.
It's really tricky, isn't it? It presents a challenge.
Especially as you're going post 1990, because there was a few players I had a massive dilemma about. Like, I had a dilemma about Maradona, obviously known as one of the greatest footballers ever to have lived, played in the 1990 World Cup. They got through to the final against Germany, but 1994 obviously got kicked out for drug use and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was like, do I put him in? Because he wasn't actually that good 1990 onwards. Ruud Gullit, love Ruud Gullit, one of my favourite all-time players, because I was a big AC Milan supporter. But then I thought to myself, did he really do it in World Cups? You know, am I basing this on club football or World Cup?
I think you can base it them as a player in total. Like, they have to have been capped by their country, but I think it's unfair to make a judgment on a player purely based on what they've achieved with their national side, because ultimately they could be let down by the rest of the players they're playing with. So it's them as a player from 1990 onwards, but they have to have been capped by their country. Because and they, I don't know if that changes things for you. I don't know.
Well, you could have thrown in George Best. Okay, I know he's not after 1990, is he? No, you could have thrown Ryan Giggs, possibly, because he never played at a World Cup. But then you'd have to have another Welsh player, unless he's your spare man, because you aren't one that isn't... one player that isn't with another one. So it was really, really tricky. You know, you look at the Brazil side, I was playing around with, my God, who do you pick from that? You know, you can literally pick anyone. And then I was thinking about people like Mbappe, you know. I think he was 18 World Cup, and he looks like he's potentially going to be the best player this World Cup. But I was like, is it too early to judge him in a World 11? Is it like, is he come a bit too soon? And I was looking about Messi and Ronaldo, and it's just, I found this really, really hard. One of my favourite ever players as well alongside him, it was Roberto Baggio, but I really struggled with him as well, because he was kind of up to 1994 and then not that much after. So Gascoigne was another, you know, brilliant 1990 World Cup, but then Euro 96, and then that was about it. So before we
eliminate everyone else in world football other than who you've actually chosen, should we get on with the game?
Okay.
So we don't want to give too much away. We want to add a little bit of suspense to our choices.
These people I might have included. I'll just
say. Okay. Well, look, let's start with the formations. And what we'll do is we'll start with the keeper, then the defenders, then the midfield, then the attackers. But we'll take a defender each, a midfielder each, alternately, rather than you name everyone, then I name everyone, yeah?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, right. First things first, formation. What are you going with?
So, again, really struggled with the formation, but because there were so many midfielders that I wanted to include, and I have got a couple of midfielders stroke forwards on the wing, I went with, Serbia 3, Cameroon 3. Just popped up on my phone.
Oh, wow.
Cameroon were 1-0 out, and Serbia went 3-1, and then Cameroon have just got two back. So maybe I'll take back what I said at the start of the
I think it's been entertaining so far. Really,
yeah, there have been some good games, definitely. Anyway, so I went with three centre backs, a sort of a holding midfielder, four midfielders, and then two forwards. So essentially 3-5-2.
Okay, interesting. So I've gone for a 4-3-3, but the three in midfield are two central midfielders and a number 10.
Okay, that sit so behind I've got a three. No fullbacks.
Right, okay, that's interesting. So you've got three defenders to talk about. I've got four. But before we get there, let's talk about the goalkeeper.
Okay, so this was massively hard for me because, again, Buffon is one of my favourite all-time goalkeepers, and he's still playing at 43 or whatever he is now, 44. Absolute legend of the game. So I was So my instant thought was Buffon when I started doing this. And then when I was playing around with players, that only meant I could have, like, one more outfield Italian, which really limited me. And then I was thinking about sort of, oh, there was a German that I wanted in the team. And then I was thinking, well, then I need another German. So anyway, I then got it down to Neuer or Kahn, basically a German goalkeeper. And then I was torn between the two of them. I just think Kahn was arguably, alongside Schmeichel possibly, the best keeper of the 90s, really, and played for Germany in World Cups. But then Neuer is like a brilliant goalkeeper and has won the World Cup for Germany and has been a, you know, Bayern Munich star player for years and years and years. And he was the first real sweeper keeper. And when you see how attacking my team is, you're going to realise I actually need a goalkeeper that's going to have to probably clear up a few of the balls over the top as well.
Right, okay.
Considering Neuer is known to be the best at doing that, he just gets the nod for me.
Right, yeah. I mean, the thing is, both of these teams are going to be amazing because when you're talking about a best 11, there isn't really going to be any weaknesses per se. But I have chosen a different goalkeeper and I have chosen to use the wild card from the get-go of the one that can be any nationality. So this is an isolated nationality. There isn't another one from the same country, and that is Peter Schmeichel. So superb keeper. We all know that. Unbelievable presence. Domestically, he won everything. For Denmark, he won the Euros. Some people forget that. I think there was a public poll, I'm looking at my notes here, held by Reuters, in which the majority of the 200,000 participants voted him as the best goalkeeper ever. And I would have been one of them. So I can't look past Big Pete, if I'm honest. And also, looking at his stats, he actually scored for Denmark, apparently. Yeah. So if ever you're struggling, you know, if this side is struggling, lump him on up front for the last five and who knows what could happen. So I'm going with Big Pete between the sticks for me.
Okay.
Defenders. Now, you go first with this because you've got three to talk about. I've got four. Let's start with the centre-halves, X, because we can do a bit of an alternate and then maybe I'll wrap up the defenders with my fullback. So who's your first centre-half, mate?
So I've got obviously got three centre-halves. So playing on the left of my centre-halves is, in my opinion, alongside Bobby Moore, but obviously Bobby Moore came before 1990, is the greatest defender, in my opinion, to have played the game. Plays for my Italian team, or played for my Italian team. His dad also played for the team. His son also played for the team. Absolute legend of Italian football. And surely one of the most classy defenders ever. It's got to be Maldini.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, it's a great shout. That's a great shout. Well, I will start with one of my centre-halves because it's also Maldini.
Okay.
So El Capitano, what a centre-half he was, X. Just incredible. Could also play left-back, so he had that versatility. Domestically spent his whole career at AC Milan, and up until 2020, had the most Serie A appearances with 647, but this was eventually broken by Gianluca Buffon, someone you've already spoken about. And he played till he was 41, Maldini, you know, which was well impressive. Never won a trophy with Italy, though, which is quite amazing, actually, but one hell of a player.
Did he not win the World Cup in 2006, or was he retired by then?
I think he might have retired. I don't know, but he's looking at the stats. He wasn't down as a World Cup winner.
No, he's not. He must have retired before that for Italy. Yeah, he retired in 2002. So yeah, he just missed that World Cup. That's a shame.
But a fantastic start to the defensive lineup. Give us your second centre-half, mate.
Right, so this is the one that I was least keen on. Least keen on when you think of all the great defenders that have ever played the game. So I missed it. I must admit, this is my weak link. And I was really torn because maybe I paid too much attention to having World Cup winners in my team. I think that I maybe got a little bit carried away with actually wanting people to have achieved something in world football. So in order to have another one of his compatriots in the side, I've gone for Puyol of Spain and Barcelona. Now, I don't think he was the greatest of defenders, but from sort of memories of watching him, he's quite tough, gets stuck in, no-nonsense defender, doesn't take any shit. I've stuck him in the sort of centre of my back three, so I've got a bit of a more classy centre-backs around him, and then he's my sort of get stuck in and fight and leader, and he won the World Cup in 2010, won shitloads of things with Barcelona. So he got it, but I accept that's, if you're the opposition manager, that's who you're targeting.
I think you have to play this game with a little bit of give and take. So this is obviously your little bit of give in terms of Puyol sounds like he's been used as a gateway to use a second Spaniard in this team, by the sounds of it. Is that right? So I have also done the same. And that gateway, who, by the way, was also a quality player, is Jaap Stam. Yeah. So he's my one where you could argue potentially there would have been better options out there. Mm. Still a fantastic player, though, Jaap Stam. Make no mistake. I mean, bloody hell.
That song Man United had about him, and it was so true. Was it Yip Yap Stam is a big Dutch man, get past him if you fucking can, try a trick and he makes you a dick. Yip Yap, Yap Stam.
Yeah, I do remember it. I mean, domestically, his honours are impressive. When you look at his international career, I'd give him the nickname of erectile dysfunction because he can never do better than a semi, could he? But what a player, Yap Stam. So I did look at Puyol. I don't think I've actually included any Spaniards in this team without wanting to give too much away.
So I didn't until right at the end. I didn't have any Spaniards, and then I was looking at, I was watching them yesterday in the World Cup, and they were talking about how they've got this new generation of players coming through that are replacing the legends of the 2010 team. And I thought to myself, Spain won the Euros and the World Cup. They won the 2010 World Cup, didn't they? And then the Euro 2012, wasn't it, I think? And that Spanish team was absolutely awesome. And it made me think, how can you not have a Spanish team? And now Puyol, I'm just looking at him now, he's quite short for a centre-back. He's 5'10", but he played 392 times for Barcelona's senior team. And he played throughout from 1999 to 2014. I mean, Barcelona were the absolute dominating force of football then. It was actually the 2008 Euros they won, not 2012. So he won the 2008 Euros and the 2010 World Cup, and he was like, Spain had never won anything before that, had they? And it was always talked about, when will Spain ever win something? And I think he just did that. And as I say, my team is full of leaders, and you're going to need it, because you're going to need my midfielders to be disciplined, because they're going to have to do some defensive work. So you need your centre-backs to be proper old-school defenders that are going to get stuck in, going to command the back line, and that's why he made it for me.
Yeah, it's a great shout. And one thing that he definitely was a leader. I liked that about him. And, I think it's a good shout. Like I say, Yap Stam for me, he was a great centre-half. So again, it's an interesting debate, because what we'd class as arguably the two weak links in our defence are two world-class players, as everyone's going to be in this World 11. So that's interesting. Who's your third and final centre-half?
So this is where, when you think about great defensive sides, you always think of the Italians. The Italians have mastered the art of defense, or they had done, for a large period. And I just, the amount of quality, classy centre backs that Italy have produced over the years, you know, you can talk about Baresi and Costa Curta, and they're all Milan related as well, is my bias towards AC Milan. And you think through Maldini, obviously, we've said, and there's just so many. Cannavaro was another one, which I was really, really torn between putting in the team, really, really torn between, but I just gave it to Nesta. Nesta just edged it for me. So he is there alongside Maldini and Puyol.
Right, okay.
His peak was so good.
He was an unbelievable player, wasn't he, Nesta? And do you know what? You're right. Italy are the poster boys for defensive play, aren't they? You look at the list of defenders they produced, it's actually quite incredible. So that is a solid back three, mate, I've got to say.
And he's won the World Cup as well.
Good player, Nesta. So let me give you my last two defenders, because you're done now for defenders. I've got two more to talk about. So my centre-halves are Maldini and Yap Stam, solid. And then I've gone for two fullbacks, right? First one is Roberto Carlos.
Yeah, that's
Who I think if you'd have played a back four, you'd have used him as well.
Yeah, 100%. He's the obvious choice for left back.
Of course he is.
And I was so tempted to play him on the left wing, like a left wing back, so I could get him in. But I had two Brazilians ahead of him, so he was like my third choice Brazilian. So he just missed out.
Mm. He started his career in Brazil as a forward. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. No, but it explains with his shooting, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I mean, he spent most of his career as a left back, as we know, and has been described as the most offensive minded left back in the history of the game, which I don't think you can argue with. But he was quick, he was strong, he played with intensity, and had one hell of a free kick on him. So my first Brazilian is Roberto Carlos in at left back. And my right back option is going to be Zanetti. Javier Zanetti, what a player he was. Again, played a lot of games in Italy. Argentinian, as you know, 144 appearances for Argentina, 615 for Inter Milan, where he played a crucial part in that famous treble winning season back in 2010, by the way. Versatile as well, more than capable of playing as a winger. But for me, he's in at right back, and I think that makes a solid, solid back four. Mate.
Yeah, really, really good. I mean, I'm just looking at Zanetti now. Do you know, I didn't actually consider him, but that is a great shout. He played 615 times for Inter Milan, 1995 to 2014, 714 games in total, played 145 times for Argentina. I mean, never won the World Cup. That's one blemish on him. I mean, I think every... although I did think...
Some of the best players of all time, didn't they?
Very true, very true. But yeah, he is.
And
he
probably won't. Yeah.
I think for right backs, there was two right backs. I actually forgot about Zanetti, but now that you've said him, I'll include it. For me, Zanetti would be in there. I think Cafu of Brazil is. But the problem with Brazil is that if you pick Carlos, if you pick Cafu, you're missing out on two or three other world-class players. And you think that there are some other really good ones. I think the Dutch had a few decent right-backs over the years from memory and, you know, Germany and stuff. But I think, Zanetti is the obvious choice for a right-back. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how many players we pick that are the same, because so far it's quite different in terms of formation and players, which is making this really interesting. I was a little bit worried that we were going to come out of identicals here, but I don't think we are. I mean, I can tell you now, I've not gone for any Germans. So straight away, there's a difference there. And I've not gone for any Spanish. So this is interesting. And again, without giving too much away, let's move on to the midfielders. And we will start with you, mate, because you've gone for four across the midfield.
I've got one between the midfields. So
like an anchor man.
Yeah, an anchor man, basically, yeah. And I think when I was looking back to my favourite World Cup of all time, it was 1990, and I was reading up on it for the show, the player that got voted player of the tournament in that tournament, and I remember scoring a brilliant goal as well, had everything, bit of a rival because he played for Inter Milan. And he was German, but I'm going to go in low for Mateus because I need someone there to support the defence. The rest of my team's so attack-minded without a sort of defensive midfield. I did weigh up like Deschamps or Dunga or, you know, like Busquets or someone like that, right? To Mascherano to sit being my defensive midfielder. But when I think about it, low for Mateus was German captain. You know, he won the World Cup as well in 1990. Played for Inter Milan for all those years. I needed someone to sit in that hole that can spray balls around, but also can win the ball. And I think he was voted, as I say, the player of the tournament in 1990. So he gets the nod for me.
Yeah, great player.
150 times he played for Germany. You know, he won the World Cup in 1990. He was runner-up in 86, runner-up in 1982. So his pedigree, you know, played 115 times for Inter Milan, scored 40 goals, which for a defensive midfielder, you know, is a lot. Then played for Bayern Munich, played, I'm looking at the maths here, about 300 times, scored about 80 goals. So he got a lot of goals. You know, when he started off in his first team, I can't pronounce this, but FC Herzogenaurach or something. He played 22 games, scored 20 goals. This is a guy. I did contemplate having Hullett, because when Hullett in his later career, he started to become a bit of a defensive midfielder as well when he was at Chelsea and stuff. But I think Mateus, just because he was just so good in that World Cup and like, you know, 150 caps and so, you know, it's just so... well renowned. I'm saying here he's in the FIFA. I'm reading his Wikipedia here. FIFA 100 greatest living players chosen by Pele, and he said he's the Diego Maradona son of Mateus. He's the best rival I've ever had. I guess that's enough to define him. So
yeah,
Maradona saying he's the best one. Then there you go.
Yeah, I can can't put a price on modesty, can you, Diego?
No,
a great player, German legend, a great player. And actually, that leads me to talk about my choice, because he was also named in Pelé's top 100 players to have played the game. I actually can't believe that I'm choosing a player to start in this side that has actually played 36 times for Barnet.
I know who you're going to do now.
And it is of course Edgar Davids. Now, I absolutely loved Edgar. I loved his energy, I loved his pace, his defensive ability, his passing, his dreadlocks, his glasses. He was class. And whilst he isn't dripping in silverware, I really am trying to think about this tactically like you are. And I think every side needs an Edgar Davids. If we just kind of brush
his... for Spurs, though, mate.
I know. Well, I wasn't going to mention that. I wasn't going to talk about that. But let's just concentrate on Barnet if we're going to go domestically for now. but I think everyone needs an Edgar Davids. He would be my engine in midfield. And I've got to be honest, the Dutch players were the ones that made me think, because I've gone with Jaap Stam, who's a great centre-half, brilliant, world-class centre-half. But I kind of used that as a gateway to use Edgar. I did think about using maybe Rio Ferdinand and Declan Rice or Steven Gerrard, but I don't know. When I think about this and who he's going to be playing alongside, I just think Edgar would be outstanding in this role. So I'm going to go with Edgar Davids for my first midfielder, and that completes my Dutch pairing as well. So give us your next midfielder, pal.
So obviously I've got two centrals and then one on the left, one on the right. So I'll stick with the central. In my opinion, not talked about enough. He is talked about as one of the world's greatest, but not enough, in my opinion. I was very tempted to put Paul Gascoigne in, but I just thought, again, 1990... was brilliant. 1996 was brilliant, but injuries and stuff kind of stopped him a little bit. And also, I've got to deal with his off the pitch issues, which I don't want to have that in the dressing room, which is why Cristiano Ronaldo misses out as well, which is controversial because he was very, I love Ronaldo, very close to getting in, but I don't want the ego. I've got enough egos to deal with anyway, let alone have someone that's two team, because he'd have to play on the wing for me. And I don't think he's going to give me the work rate anyway. So the player that I went with is Zidane. Now, unbelievable player. You know, when you just have to watch that period when he was at Juventus and then the France World Cup and then his early career at Real Madrid. He was absolutely unbelievable, unplayable. Some of the skill and some of the like the control and the goals and everything he just showed. I mean, I just remember watching games, but in my head it was more when he was at Juventus, because obviously I watched a lot of Serie A in those days. He was just so, so good. And I just can't believe Blackburn Rovers chose to keep Tim Sherwood ahead of him when they were offered the chance to sign him. They said, no, we've got Tim Sherwood, we don't need him. This is ridiculous because he's, in my eyes, one of the greatest footballers to have ever lived, and an absolute legend. You know, what you'd have here as well with your World 11 is that you've got Africa slightly represented, because obviously he was Algerian, and he's massively popular over in Algeria. So you've got their fans supporting your team as well. And I don't need to talk about it anymore. I mean, you know, World Cup winner, Euro Championship winner, obviously career ended in the most controversial circumstances.
Oh, didn't it?
What a story to end your career on that World Cup, where he was sent off for headbutting Materazzi.
Something from Street Fighter, wasn't it? It was unbelievable.
It was, yeah.
Perfect.
Such a weird way for his career to end. But also, you know, a captain, he's managed Real Madrid. So again, leadership qualities. So, yeah, Zidane is in there.
Incredible player. Definitely, without question, one of the best of all time. And that brings me to my second central midfielder that sits alongside Edgar Davids. Absolute Rolls Royce of a midfielder. And that is Andrea Pirlo. So he is my second Italian. Without question, one of the best deep line playmakers the game has ever seen. Champions League winner, World Cup winner, personal awards coming out of his arse. So my second and final Italian to go into this side is Andrea Pirlo to sit along Edgar Davids.
I hadn't even considered him. Do you know, when I was thinking about Italy, it was Buffon, Nesta, Maldini and Baggio. They were the four that I was really...
Great players, though. They're all great players.
Really toying with those four. But Pirlo is a great shout, mate, actually. Yeah. And in that defensive midfield role where I've got Mateus, Pirlo would be a brilliant player to have had there. So that's a great shout. Yeah. Another AC Milan player, just to drop that in. But brilliant. I mean, if you used to pick on that note as an AC Milan fan, I think they're your Italian team as well, aren't they? If you used to pick your greatest ever AC Milan side, bloody hell.
Oh, that'd be a joke, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but that's a great shout, that, to be fair.
So who sits alongside Zizou in that midfield for you?
So this is where I was really, really torn. As I said, I was going through players. I was just literally, this is the position I kept changing the most. As I said, Gascoigne was in there, and then I had Hullet in there, and then I had, like, you know, Rooney sitting deeper, and I had all these sort of different players I was playing with. But in the end, it goes back to the Spain thing and thinking of how good that Spanish side were in that period of the 2010-2012 and how good Barcelona were. And I'm thinking Zidane's my guy. Get on the ball, spray the long passes around, take long shots, beat people with skill and dribbling. But I want someone to play those through balls, because my two forwards are very pacey, very direct. So I need someone to play through balls to them to run on with. Sort of a glorified Al Berkovic, but I'm going with Iniesta.
Fantastic. I'm sure Iniesta hasn't been described as a glorified Isle Berkovich too many times in his career.
But
this is a West Ham podcast, so let's have it.
There you go. And he scored the winner in the World Cup final as well. So he's also got that sort of part of history on his CV.
He was just an incredible player, and his partnership with Xavi for all those years, it would be difficult to name a better partnership than those two. And Iniesta sitting alongside Zidane is quite frightening, actually. Mm. Right, so I'm going to now mention my final midfielder, if you like, and then you give me your two wingers, a bit like we did in reverse for the defenders, right? So my final midfielder, who is playing as a number 10 that sits in front of Pirlo and Edgar Davids, is Zinedine Zidane for the reasons that we've just mentioned.
You haven't got him in the team.
You've got to. I mean, look, one of the best playmakers of all time, one of the best players of all time, unbelievable control. He never seemed to lose the ball, Zidane. No. Just incredible vision, superb creativity.
Glorified Arthur Mesoraku.
Yeah.
Never gives the ball away.
Well, I actually have heard that mentioned about him quite a few times in his career. So it's not the first, but he just next level, wasn't he? And his goals were just unbelievable as well. So Zizou does complete my midfield three. And on that note, I'm going to ask you for your wingers.
Right, so these guys are going to have to do some defensive work as well. And this is where my issue is going to be, because they're clearly attacking players. And I'm going to have to say to them, look, lads, you're team players. You work hard. And this is why Ronaldo didn't make it, because whenever it is Ronaldo-Messi debate, I've always been slightly erring towards Ronaldo, slightly, because I think he's done it in more leagues. You know, man, he's done it in... for Man United, for Juventus, for Real Madrid. He's won something with Portugal. I know Messi's like the ultimate player and been amazing for Barcelona and stuff. I don't know if he's got to the same heights of PSG, but certainly you can't look beyond it. And I was really torn about having those two in the team, because I think you've got to have at least one of them in the team, if not two of them. So purely because they're going to have to do some tracking back and they're going to have to do some getting work rate and stuff. And I can't have the ego in the dressing room. I went with Messi on the left side. So with his left foot, so he's going to be obviously used mainly as attacker. We're going to go out gung-ho from the blocks, my team. We're going to want to get 2-0 up early on, 2-3-0 up, and then we're going to start to take off your Messi's and bring on your Roberto Carlos's, or bring on your... I had Ronald Koeman was another I'd knocking around, and bring on some defensive players and stuff. But Messi is going to get that left wing spot. And then on the right wing, so Messi is my... on its own nationality, because I haven't got another Argentinian.
Right, okay.
Because, like I said, I played with Maradona. I thought about Batistuta. I thought about Tevez, Crespo. You know, there was loads of players. But I think Messi is going to be my only Argentinian. And then on the right, it's Ronaldinho. I just, the guy is talented, like so fun to watch. Like, and I think he's the only player that scored in the Clásico for Barcelona. I think it might have even been his first game for Barcelona. Scored an absolute worldie, and Real Madrid fans have clapped him. You know, so good. I had the benefit of watching both Messi and Ronaldinho in the flesh. Saw Messi play for Argentina against Croatia at Upton Park, that random friendly we hosted there. And it was unbelievable. And I saw Ronaldinho play for Paris Saint-Germain versus Monaco for a 21st birthday present, I think. And he was watching both of them in the flesh. I think you don't appreciate how good they are until you actually see how good their control is and how skillful they are and how the defenders never get close to them. So Ronaldinho on the right, again, another AC Milan player on the right, and Messi on the left. With that midfield is so attacking, but my God, you'd just be so excited watching that. Messi and Ronaldinho taking people on the wing, beating them for fun, and then cutting in and doing brilliant shots. Then you've got Iniesta playing the through balls, Zidane taking people on and creating stuff in the middle, playing it out to the wings, and Mateus just sitting there, making sure that if we do get counter-attacked, we've got his experience and his quality alongside those three solid centre-backs to deal with it. But Messi and Ronaldinho are going to need some one-to-one coaching about tracking back.
Yeah. There's one thing that slightly concerns me about this. Have you got Messi on the wrong side of the wing now?
No, because he's left-footed, isn't he?
Yeah, but is he not sort of famed for cutting in on his left and playing on the right?
Yeah, he is. But then, so I could do that, but I'm thinking if he's having to track back defensively, then I think it'd be better to be honest there. Swap them around if you like, mate, either or Ronaldo, because what I'm going to do throughout the game is switch their flanks either throughout anyway, so put them either whatever side you want, but they're both going to be cutting in on their better foots. They're both going to swap wings, so the fullback thinks he's got used to dealing with Messi. Now he's got Ronaldinho. So yeah, just whatever order you want to put them on.
Okay, mate. All right, fair enough. Well, that's good. That's impressive. So now we talk about the forwards. I've got three, and I'm guessing you've got two, if my maths serves me right. Yeah. Right, let me kick off with the first one. And for me, whilst Cristiano is often talked about as the best Ronaldo of all time, I think for me it's R9. One of the best players I've ever seen in my life, the original Ronaldo. His nickname was actually the Phenomenon, which speaks volumes. What a player. He had everything. Pace, movement, unbelievable feet, strength, vision, clinical finishing. Just incredible. Unbelievable goal scoring record, 2 Ballon d'Ors, 2 World Cups, 1 Confederations Cup, 2 Copa Americas, trophies coming out of his arse domestically. Just a legend of a game. So he is my number 9.
Yeah, and same for me. Exactly for the reasons that you described. I think, again, like I don't think people overlook. They always talk about Messi and Ronaldo, as in Portuguese one, but that Ronaldo was just so good. The complete forward, pace, power, heading ability, dribbling, like everything, you know. And for me, he had to be in there. And another AC Milan player, so I've got good like relations here in my team, because they all know each other, Real Madrid connections as well. They all sort of have played with each other before or know of each other well. But I think you have to. Any team post 1990 has to have Ronaldo in. And obviously, like you said, won the World Cups, top scorer in the World Cups. Just an absolute unbelievable player.
Yeah, definitely. My next choice up front, who would be on the right, cutting in on his left, would be Messi. He's the second Argentinian alongside Zanetti, often described as the best of all time. I mean, I've always leant towards him over Ronaldo in the modern day argument. More of a team player, in my opinion, yet the scorer of incredible individual goals. I mean, you talk about great feet. I don't think I've seen anyone better in my lifetime with a ball. Ronaldo comes very close as in R9. But Messi, I mean, he's won 7 Ballon d'Ors, a record 6 European Golden Boots. And at Barcelona, he won 35 fucking trophies. I mean, the man isn't human. Not littered with international honours, of course. But in my opinion, the best player in this side. I mean, he is my bubba. He's my boo-boo-boo-boo. just different class. And on that note, mate, let's get your final forward, who I believe I've got a hunch as to who this is going to be. And I think I might have picked the same.
Right, so this is just really, really hard, really hard, because there's some forwards as well that you probably wouldn't even consider, but should be considered, like Klose of Germany, scored so many goals in World Cups. I think he's the all-time top scorer in World Cups, you know, for Germany. Always scored for Bayern Munich and stuff. Like, you can't look beyond him. Bergkamp, you know, brilliant player for Holland. You know, there's so many forwards that you could have in this list. But I've got one Frenchman, which is Zidane, and I'm going to have Henri playing with him again, because if you've got Zidane and you've got Iniesta putting those through balls through. Imagine having Ronaldo and Henri with their pace and their directness and their skill and their finishing going against your defenders. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And again, a good bloke, a good leader, which my team needs for discipline reasons. So yeah, so Henri's there.
Just an incredible player. One of the best players in Premier League history. He was consistently unplayable, lightning quick. It's hard to argue that. Great movement, great control, scored a variety of goals, many of which were worldies. He's been FIFA's Footballer of the Year a record 3 times and has come painfully close to a Ballon d'Or on a few occasions. Arsenal's all-time leading goal scorer, World Cup winner and a Euros winner. And for that reason, that is why he is also my final pick. So we've agreed on a couple there, but that is incredible. Who's skipper in your side? Because you have got a lot of leaders in there.
My team's full of leaders. I mean, obviously you could go with any of them, really. Even the keeper, Maldini, Nesta, Mateus, Zidane. even Henri. I think because of the position of where they're sitting and because of the importance of their role in my team, and because looking at their ages, they're probably the oldest player as well. So the experience as well. I'm going to go with Mateus.
Okay. Interesting. Right. I'm going to go for Maldini because he was nicknamed El Capitano for a reason. He's going to be my skipper. And if we just review this, so my side, which is a 4-3-3, starts with Peter Schmeichel in goal. Javier Zanetti on the right as a right back. Roberto Carlos left back. Maldini and Yap Stam at the centre halves. Into midfield, got Andre Pirlo and Edgar Davids, with Zinedine Zidane playing in front of them in a number 10 role. And then we've got a front three of Thierry Henry, the original Ronaldo, R9, and Lionel Messi. And if we look at X's team, we've got a 3-1-4-2, is that fair to say? Or is it a 3-5-2, but with Lofa playing in it as the anchor man? We've got Manuel Neuer in goal, a back three of Nesta, Puyol, Maldini, Lofa Mateus as the anchor man, with Zinedine Zidane and Iniesta centrally as a pair, Ronaldinho and Messi as the wingers, and Thierry Henry and the original Ronaldo up front as a two. Yeah. That was fantastic. Two excellent sides there. But we want to know who you think would win if they went up against each other. So we're going to release the poll on Patreon, and those that choose X's side will have their subscriptions terminated. speaking of X.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.